Good evening, everyone. This is Jason Tinkey, and on the phone with me, I have Bodie Mayo, the military folk builder for the AFA. He's former Marine Infantry, served in the early 90s as part of the 2nd Marine Division. Right now, he is currently living with his wife and 3 children in Georgia, and he is working as a welder for a major construction company, and he has been publicly or working with the heathen community for some time now, and he has just recently taken the position of military folk builder with the AFA. So the first question I have for you, Bodie, is how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well.
Cool. So now you said you've been at the Drew now for what, about 11 years?
Yeah, about 11 years. I actually, about 11 years ago, there was a small trend in heathenry where the new folk among us, those of us, as we like to say, within the AFA, those of us transitioning from the folk without to the folk within, there was a kind of a trend there for a little while where we did what was called a profession of faith, usually at a moot. Mine was not. Mine was actually at a private Yule gathering, and I actually took my profession of faith on Mother's Night of 2001. So, since then.
Now, what originally brought you into heathenry?
Well, I got to tell you, it was a very long road, as I like to think of it, back to the place where I finally realized I was supposed to be all along. I investigated a lot of things. I can remember from a very early age not really accepting, or I guess you would say believing or buying into Christianity, even though that was, of course, as a lot of us, what I was brought up in. So, you know, once I became an adult, as has happened with a lot of us, I just began to explore what else was in the world. And, you know, I investigated a lot of things. Neo-paganism, of course, because, you know, that's always attractive to younger folk and native beliefs. You know, just kind of ran the gamut of investigating different things. And it wasn't until I actually became roommates with an Ossetruer, and my actual landlord at the time for that apartment house was actually Ossetruer as well. He was my first, he was the first goatee that I ever knew. They kind of saw that spiritual questing within me and, you know, just simply asked me if I'd ever considered Ossetruer. I had known of it. You know, I had known that Ossetruer existed, but at the time, I guess I just wasn't ready. But, I did a lot of studying, a lot of soul searching at the time, but, As soon as I was introduced to it, and as soon as I got it, as they say, then the rest is history.
Now, was this while you were still in the military, or after you got an out?
No, this was some years after, and you know, I always, whenever I'm asked this question, which I have been before, the thing the most that attracted me was through all of those, you know, through all of that searching that I did, I was struck by how none of these groups, none of these things really made me have that sense of belonging that I know you and other Ossetruers have felt as soon as we're made aware and as soon as we investigate, and that's it. You know, we always refer to it as coming home. And I remember one day before I went to work, looking in the mirror and thinking that I had to find the spiritual home for the face that I saw in the mirror. And not shortly after that, I did. So that was my decision-making process, I guess you could say, and that's what that investigation led me to.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know with myself, I studied a lot as a teenager in, you know, like you said, you know, you kind of start off with the whole neo-pagan Wiccan thing, you know, once you decide Christianity isn't right for you. And then about, and when I was about 15, I had picked up a book, Myths of the Norsemen.
Oh, wow, good book.
Yeah, it's a great book by H.A. Gruber, I believe his name is. And unfortunately, like I really connected to the stories and I loved them. And, you know, there was, you know, a strong feeling to them. But it took me about another 15 years to actually realize that it was still a living religion. I had no idea. So, yeah, so it took me a while to get down that road, but I found it. My next question is, now with the decline of Western culture in America, do you feel Akitru is even more important now than it ever has been to our people?
Well, you know, I do, of course, you know, those of us involved with Akitru and those of us that are Akitru, you know, think about this question a lot. And my personal feelings is that, you know, we as Eurofolk are in this postmodern age of ours are left feeling rudderless and rootless. We, a lot of us, you know, the nucleus of the family has, you know, been torn apart by all the modern conveniences and all the stuff that we have. And, you know, nobody really has roots anymore. And we're just kind of adrift, trying to find our way in the world. And, I do think that Austria has a lot to offer to the folk without, as we call them. You know, I always say that all of these problems that make up that decline can be solved with three little words: faith, folk, and family. Those three things. You know, my wife has those. She has those printed on her checks for our banking account. She has faith, folk, and family printed on there, and. I don't know if it does, you know, ever reaches or does any good to anyone who sees it, but it's a very, very subtle reminder to both her and I anytime we see it. And I really think that those three things are a good start towards fixing it. I think that we who are Akitru are better equipped to deal with the decline, and that requires, you know, a constant regimen of learning and being vigilant about, you know, learning and knowing the watching, you know, knowing the signs of the decline itself. So, yeah, I think that it is more important now than ever. And I'm glad to be a part of it, and glad to be here for those who are trying to find their way and are trying to put down spiritual roots.
Definitely. I like that, faith, folk, and family. That's a good way of putting it. That does definitely sum up a lot of it right there. That, you know, the core beliefs, in a sense, and, you know, the things that really matter, and the things that, if nothing else, you know, someone new to Akitru or, is investigating, their spirituality, that really is a nice way to just place it, you know, because if those things matter to them, then, you know, this is probably where they belong, because that's just, it sums it up. It's nice. I like that. I'll have to remember that. If you don't mind, I might use it at some point.
Oh, well, many have before, and I'm sure you won't be the last.
So now with this, how do you feel that the national organizations have affected Akitru positively and negatively to either help with this to help with the cause of bringing people into the fold and helping the people that are already already home?
Well, I can tell you that as a fold builder for the AFA, I can only speak to my experience, you know, being a part of it and now working as a part of it. And that's been nothing but good. In the past year since I've become a member and now a fold builder, I've met, mooted, sat in tumble, stood in bloat, and been in contact with far more fellow ostriches than I did on my own. And to me, that's a plus.
Definitely. Yeah, I could definitely see that. And that's one of my biggest things too, is just trying to make connections. If you've ever, you know, read some of my more recent articles, that's a big thing I touch on is unity and how important it is to us to know our fellow kindred, you know, right here, right next to us. You know, I think in total there's about 6 kindred here in Kansas, and
wow,
it's actually a pretty big group. I was surprised, and every once in a while, like, a new one will just pop up, which is cool. So I like to try to stay connected with them, and I think it's important for the whole Ostriche community to do that as well. So
well, you know, it only stands to reason that the Midwest, which was settled by so many German and Scandinavian folk, would experience such a profusion of ossature.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and especially with not necessarily going to say the decline of Christianity, but with so many people just not satisfied with the answers they're getting from it, and you know, being here in part of the Bible Belt, I've usually noticed that if you have something in, like, at one extreme, you'll usually find the other extreme represented almost as equally. So that could be a big.
You know, I've always been curious about that term, the Bible Belt. I don't, you know, for years I would have said that, you know, we Southerners lay claim to that as a, that we would lay claim to, I guess, ownership of that, you know, since in modern American culture, the South being known as a very heavily Christianized area of the United States. But, you know, in the intervening time since that, I had that opinion, you know, I guess there aren't really too many places where it doesn't apply. Generally, you find people saying that they live in it when those people live far from any major cities, you know, more rural areas. But I don't know, maybe we need to work towards establishing some type of ossature belt.
That would be awesome. Well, I think
we're working on it one bit at a time.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think probably in the next 10-15 years we probably could say something along those lines. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.